November 19, 2020 is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. single sandwich made for two. I'll take half and you will too. We might still get hungry in the afternoon. A single sandwich made for two. A single sandwich made for three. Save a little bit for me. I've been working hard and I need something to eat. A single sandwich made for three. A single sandwich made for four.
Lot for Pedro Show. Happy Thursday. Last minute scramble here, Pedro. No, not just Pedro. I shouldn't say that because, across the country, Brother Evan came to the rescue and, out of the immense ocean of musician rock brought Dixon Blake Callahan to save the day as a guest because we almost had a hole in my, like, I'm doing five shows now a week, you know, so usually, you know, it's one, but because of the situation. So welcome aboard, Dixon.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We start off the show with John Coltrane doing Love, and then Dixon Blake Callahan. I should say all three names, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Michael David Watt. Okay. Single sandwich made for two. So, yeah, the sandwich. You know, Ig, I did 125 months with Stooges, and Ig had a kind of vaudeville, philosophy about working the room. And like he said, a song at a gig is like a sandwich, you know? And if you got good bread, you got a good beginning, you got a good ending, right? So you can have a big sorote in the middle there, and it's okay. So for those, I know we're not doing a lot of gigs right now, but when we get back to it, there's some strategy. Dixon, please tell me your earliest musical recollection.
Earliest musical recollection would probably be sometime in 1995 or 1996. I recall going with my dad to a repair shop that his friend owned, and on a radio, I heard a pop country song. I forget exactly who sings it, but it goes, there might be a little dust on the bottom. On the bottle. There might be a little dust on the bottle, okay. But don't let it fool you about what's inside. I always remember that song. That's probably the furthest back I can remember.
Well, you should also remember it's a Watt from Pedro show, so there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. No pressure.
That's for both of our benefits.
And it's okay. Greatly appreciated.
But you know, I've had cats on the show. They have memories when they were two. And to tell you the truth, man, I can't remember back that far.
No, I can remember like three. I remember going to the zoo, being in a stroller. That's probably as far as it goes.
Okay. So where? What town did you grow?
I grew up in Chatsworth, Georgia.
Okay. So, and in this pad, I'm assuming you didn't spend all your time in your pop's car. But was there any musical instruments?
No, not at all until I was 14.
No, but like your parents weren't players, they were just listeners.
Oh, gotcha. No, they just listened very passively. My father listened to the radio, just normal passive listener. Mom probably listened to
scary word, normal.
More.
Scary word, normal. You mean maybe average?
I'd say average, but then again,
no, that's
my father's pretty conservative, so it's like, you play like Pink Floyd in front of him. He's like, turn that shit off.
I'm just having some fun with you. Just some semantic bullshit. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry. So I'm curious, though. You know, the beginnings, right? You only have them once. So that's and everybody's got their own path down the music trail, you know. So there's no instruments in the pad. But what about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
No. I tried to get in the band, and I really wanted to play drums. And they're like, no, you've got to play the baritone. And I'm like, that's lame as fuck. I really don't want to do that.
Okay. Okay, now, let's get back. Now, your pop was more a radio guy. He wasn't a record guy so much, huh?
No, not at all. That was my mom.
And your mom had records. Okay. But what was the first record you bought yourself with your own money?
With my own money?
When you're young, you don't have a lot of money. So, like, where you spend it is, like, really intense, right?
Absolutely. And the first one I bought was probably my 14th birthday. It would have been in 2005. I went and saw Reggie and the Full Effect, Alkaline Trio, and My Chemical Romance. And I bought My Chemical Romance's second album, Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge. I bought that with my birthday money I got going into the show. And that was the first one.
Now, was that gig your first one?
Technically, my first show would have been when I was 4. I saw Little Texas in a farmyard in Chatsworth.
Okay. That remember, there's no wrong answers.
Yeah.
Okay. So you end up being quite a, you know, listening to your music. How did you get into it? How'd you get on a machine, on an instrument?
Well, I think anytime I get interested in something, I get really obsessed over it. And I was really, really weird, I guess, because of that. Like, I was obsessed with the Titanic in the 90s, for instance. Not the movie, the actual ship. And people thought I was a freak. And, I mean, they're not completely wrong. But when I was 14, I just wanted to be more like everybody else, kind of relate to everybody, stop being made fun of and such like I was in school. So I just started paying attention to music and thinking about all this music I'd heard over the years my mom had listened to that she enjoyed, but I didn't know anything about. And I remember, like, probably 2005, 2006, I started trying to listen to what was on the radio, and I'm like, go to school and, hey guys, I listen to what you like. But I ended up getting way too nerdy about it and, like, learning all of the members' names and learning all of their songs, thinking that's what people did. And they're like, dude, we just listen to the radio. We don't care. And I just wanted to impress people. So at that same time, I picked up the guitar, and the 2000s were a great time for guitar music, more so than current day. So I was able to listen to the radio a good bit, download a lot of MP3s, and just play back the CDs and kind of work my way up from that, sat in the room and played for 8 hours.
I'm interested. How did you get that guitar? I mean, were you in a store with your parents or by yourself and, paper route? Or how'd you get this fucking guitar?
Well, I wanted a drum set, truth be told, and
right,
my
like
dad
you wanted to
instead
do in school,
gave me
right?
a laptop, and he's like, drum sets are too loud, try again. And my grandma, she has a soft spot for me. She kind of spoiled me when I was younger, and we went into a Circuit City that was closing down, and they actually had a shitty Washburn guitar. They're called their Lion series. It's kind of like the Squire to Fender, Epiphone to Gibson, but it was a Lion guitar, and it was on wholesale with a terrible amplifier for like $150. And she's like, you want that for Christmas? I'm like, I guess. It's kind of a suggestion, and I picked it up and enjoyed it.
So it actually was electric guitar, because a lot of people's first guitar is an acoustic one.
Oh, yeah. It was an electric. I actually didn't get an acoustic until about 6 months ago.
Yeah, because I noticed, some of your music's got acoustic, though.
Absolutely.
But I heard a connect there, because you wanted to do drums in school, and then you wanted to do drums later. Now, what was that motivation?
I guess more than anything, I've always been into the rhythm of music more so than before anything else. I've been into the rhythm of it, especially the type of music my mom listened to. She listened to more like R&B and 80s pop music, and then she got remarried, and her husband listened to the Red Hot Chili Peppers and stuff like that. So it was always a little more banging, rhythmic type stuff. So I think that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, especially rock and roll, it's the hardest, the drums. I was talking to a cat from Portland the other day. Ryan was on the show, and he went to guitar, but, yeah, he's never going to lose drums because I said, good. And, you know, the biggest mistake the Minutemen ever made was putting George Hurley in the back. That motherfucker should have been up front. Like, last 20 years I've had my drummers at the front because it's just ridiculous. But I'm interested in this. Okay, so you get the electric guitar, the Washburn, kind of econo. But, yeah, hey, you got to start somewhere, right? Now I'm curious, was it the dealio, oh, you just want that? Or is it like, if I get this for you, you got to take lessons?
Honestly, she just bought it. It's just another one of those things. It's like your birthday, your Christmas. You have a set amount. Here, take this. There were so many things that got thrown away a few months later, games that got traded in a few days later for my Game
Boy. Of course. So, but how are you self-taught then?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, spent about 6 or 7 years, 8 hours a day in my room, no friends, just hammered it down.
Like copying off records?
Yeah, specifically, I take that back. There was a really shitty how to play guitar CD that came with it. And it taught you like really small basic things, but it's like power chords and just a few basic chords. And I would listen to like some like 90s pop punk records like Green Day or Blink 182. And I know the White Stripes Elephant, it came out like a year or two prior, and somebody had stole that CD and given it to me. Like, I stole this from Walmart. Here, keep it. And I would sit and copy those records specifically, just kind of learn from them the best I could.
Well, me and D. Boone, we learned off copy records, too, and that was in the 70s.
Yeah.
Well, with my case, it was more 8-tracks, and, man, you couldn't put the fucking needle back. It was tough. Look, I want to play Please Be Gentle, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Get up once you've been down. It's hard to get up and put your feet on the ground.
told me pick myself up like the sunrise. Have a hard time pretending at times like the world don't try. Mama told me pick myself up like the sunrise. Have a hard time at times pretending like the world don't try. Me. Think you live until the day you die. We stay in news, born. Call my mother in the corner. Tell her son to be a king by the morning. My music moving like justification from station to station. Manipulation and sanitation with a simple question of what you paying? Pay your letter, make a playlist. It matters less what you saying. And I ain't talking cadence. I'm talking about the anger. My nigga, the point they making. The voice that's taken from truth. Could trigger nation of fools. That's the Masonic master with this. Most high on my side, no man I fear standing against. Adversity ain't heard of me, otherwise they would see the scene expeditiously like fire alarms. Ringing in our hearts, it's a walk. This life your last stop. And death is when your life starts, so what you on, God? Mama told me pick myself up like the sunrise. Have a hard time pretending at times like the world don't try me. Mama told me pick myself up like the sunrise. Have a hard time pretending at times like the world don't try me. You live until you die. We say your news born. Call my mother in the corner. Tell her son to be king by the morn.
Thank you. Too drunk to work. Too drunk.
Not for Pedro Show. Please Be Gentle from Dixon Blake Callahan. 38 Tigers After That Light Sails. Dance of the Macadamians from Bowmas Breeden. Brendan. I'll never say their name right. I'm such an asshole. Sorry. But Deep in the Woods, 66. That's Tommy O'Sullivan out of Dublin. With Something to Dance For. That's for your ma, Dixon. Dose, intense song from Madonna. Dose, they're going to, Kill Rockstar is going to reissue the Justamente Tres. Well, not reissue. It's the first time vinyl ever it's coming. I think teal. That color, you know, it's up there with puce and bone. Those color names that trip me out. Nappy Nap after that with the hit from his new solo record, Sunrise. White Noise with Black Mass. That's got Adelia Derbyshire, incredible pioneer with electronic music in the 60s. Hellbeans, brand new, but it's a demo. That's okay, you gotta start somewhere. All the tea in China. And then Too Drunk to Work, Dixon Blake Callahan. I mean, are you a demo man?
I prefer not to be. That is specifically more of a demo track because I'm working on a record at the moment. But I'm just trying to make the bones for everything before I actually sit down in the studio and do everything this January.
Yeah, it's a little more econo. You know, going to prac pad, make get ready, and then go in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Minuteman days, we learned that. All kinds of things to do econo. But let's get back to the journey. Okay, so you're teaching yourself guitar. Now, do you do the thing with the bedroom band, basement, garage band with friends after school?
No. I play for about 6-7 years before I ever get in front of other people to play with.
Wow. Okay. So yeah. It's man alone. It's a mission. It's a pilgrimage. Okay, that's great. What's that like when you're not playing? Well, it is what it is. This is why you got the music you got. Okay, so what made the big breakthrough when you said, hey, man, I should show somebody else this stuff or try to do it with somebody else?
Well, I should backtrack and say there were people that tried to do stuff with me, but they couldn't play. They kind of just bought the stuff and kind of just stood there for a while, and that became annoying. But I first actually met someone in 2010, probably halfway through, that worked at a local coffee shop, and I live in a really small town, nothing to do. We'd always go to the coffee shop. They had an internet cafe. A lot of us are broke in this small country town. We don't have the internet. But we go there, and there's a guy named Adam Ayers, and he saw I had a the Mars Volta t-shirt on. I bought when I saw the Mars Volta with the Chili Peppers back in 06, and he's like, hey, I saw them on Letterman last night. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, I really liked them. I bought a few of the records at the record shop in Dalton. I'm like, oh, shit. And we started talking for a while, and he finally explained he played drums, and I played with him. We had a good time, and I noticed he was open-handed, and he could keep time, and I'm just like, what the fuck? I've always seen everyone cross over. I never realized how insane open-handed drummers could be, and even then, slim pickings. I'm like, I struck gold, and we decided to keep playing music with each other. We played 2 or 3 shows, probably, alone, but people enjoyed us so much that a lot of people started offering to play bass, and thank God, this punk band called the Gullibles, their bass player is like, I'm ready to jump ship. Let me play with you guys. And we did that for about 3 years, and it was really fun, very invigorating.
Now, do you have a name?
The band was called Gold Plated Gold.
And what was the first Gold Plated Gold? It was just a duet, right?
It started out that way, yeah. Just
but tell me about the first gig, because you only have your first gig once, you know.
The first time we played, from what I can remember, it was really bad. We played at like a country pole hall, and it was just kind of me riffing on stuff and like throwing on some delay pedals and just kind of jamming for about 15 minutes until I just got embarrassed and we're like, okay, that's it.
You mean it was just you?
Me and my drummer.
Oh, it was with
yeah.
What's his name, Mr. Ayers?
Adam
yeah. Ayers, yeah. Okay, so he was, like, going along as you was improvising and shit?
Yeah, we had like a general idea of where to start, but no real definite ending.
Okay. And what, people kind of showed some disapproval?
I mean, they said it was cool, it was a lot of friends, but there's some dudes in the back, like, shooting pull, like, fuck this.
No, I know exactly. Dude, I remember playing I think it was Kearney in Western Nebraska, and you could hear the foosballs?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could hear, it was kind of, when we played the soft tunes, it was kind of drowning us out, like, on purpose. Walking, yeah, we were doing Daniel Johnson's Walking the Count. I could hear the foosball, like the guy really snapping on it.
I always think of the David Byrne book, How Music Works. He talks about the Talking Heads going to, I think it was Nashville for the first time, and there was a big sign that said, "Punk's not welcome, get out." I always think about that.
So that day, you haven't even played yet. I mean,
they just knew CBGBs was coming to ruin their small town. Small town of Nashville.
Oh, man. Yeah, the small town. The little hamlet.
Yeah.
And how much music goes down in that town, too. I mean, Jesus. But anyway, back to your journey. So you got a bass player to help you. And so you got a power trio going. Do you guys record?
Absolutely. I worked at a bank for 3 years when I got out of high school, graduated in 2010. 2013, lost my job, and I was like, holy shit, what do I do? And, you know, they made me keep my hair real well trimmed, couldn't grow out my beard. First thing I did, just grow out my facial hair, grow out my hair. And then they hit me up about four or 5 months later and say, what are you going to do with your 401k? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, 401k? They're like, you've got like 20% of your net income for every year that you've worked in a 401k. Like, do you want to keep it here? Do you want to withdraw it? And I'm like, I'm bone broke. Hell yeah, I'm going to withdraw it. Went to a liquor store and we're drinking one night. And I'm like, shit, we could cut a record with this. And we tried to do a full record, but we ended up with five songs. Really, really good experience, though. A lot of people seem to like it.
Yeah, yeah. And how long did it take to do? And where'd you do it?
We did it in Athens, Tennessee, in a dude's basement that he had converted into a studio for Christian rock musicians, which was strange they even let us in. If they would have heard one fucking word of anything I said, they would have probably flipped their lid.
So it was stealth.
Yeah, it took about a week, I'd say. I stopped smoking at that point in time so I could sing a lot better, didn't have to do too many overdubs, so it was pretty nice.
Oh, congrats. It's been since 2013 for me. But you'll like it for doing that, not just for singing, maybe your health.
Well, I have to be upfront. I've continued after that point and then stopped and then continued, and I'm on the vaporizer now, but still, it. My throat feels 100 times better than when I smoked a pack a day.
It's a little more econo, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so what happens with this trio?
Well, I moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and people, the reason they did is because we played there most of the time. It's like Chatsworth, where I live, there's nowhere to play. 30 minutes up the road in Dalton, there's basically nowhere to play. 50 minutes down the road is Chattanooga, right over the state line, and plenty of places to play, and we had bigger acts that would come through all the time. I mean, shit, Richard Lloyd from Television moved to Chattanooga.
That's right.
A few years ago.
I'm going to talk to him next week. Some Camp Child has helped connect me with you. So you know about that. All right.
Yeah, I played with him as well, and cool fucking things for Chattanooga is my only point, and I had to move there. We started getting bigger shows with bigger acts, and we would probably bring out anywhere between 150 to 200 people to a show, and that's people cool. Liked us because we sweat, we're wild, we jump up on the speakers. I mean, any given night, I'll be standing on a speaker, like, shredding, trying to make people think I'm a badass or something, and I'm not. I'm just a normal fucking guy, and
they're pouring
whiskey down my throat.
There's that scary word, normal.
It was an enjoyable time, though.
Look, you fucking learned how to work the room, and I admire that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're at the end of the... I mean, there's vaudeville's a great tradition, believe me, in my opinion. We're at the end of the first hour, November 19, 2020 edition, Juan Pedro Show. Special guest, Dixon Blake Callahan. Hold tight for hour two. November 19, 2020. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Magic carpet ride all the way to the top. We got so far above, didn't worry about the drop. Long-term thinking ain't worth nothing when you really need the pain. But when that whistle blows, I heard my daddy say, there they go, oh, they're moving down. Goodbye, could be ain't coming back.
artist with desire. I have passion for the arts that burns hot in my heart like a raging fire. Some dude's mom's basement on the east side tomorrow night.
Pedro Show. Start of the second hour off with Magic Carpet Kingdom from Dixon Blake Callahan. Sam Bennett after that with Pigs Ate My Roses. Waku Waku Kingdom with Something Live, Gift from God. Grief Comes in Waves from Thor Harris and Joyful Noise Players. That's brand new. And Patchouli with the Trippy Spelling from Dixie. Dixon Blake Callahan. Sorry about fucking up. Okay, you got me in a good mood. Yeah, patchouli. You know, that was a kind of a perfume, right? Some kind of oil in the hippie days.
Oh, yeah, and it's back now popular than ever.
Okay. Are you in Chattanooga right now?
I am not. I'm back in Chatsworth attending college.
Okay. Because, man, that stuff is strong. I mean, you could smell it for blocks.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's why they wore it. Because it could... You know, we were talking about stealth, right? So, yeah, who knows what's under the patchouli. So, how long does the trio stay in Chattanooga? You guys are having successes. God, you know, I've never played the town. I passed through it 50 billion times. I got to. God damn. But what ends up? I mean, it sounds like you guys had good draw and stuff, and you're on a trajectory.
Absolutely, and my bass player is about a year older than me. Like, at the moment, at that time, I was 22, he's 23. My drummer, about 29. They're both driving from Chatsworth, which is only 45, 50 minutes away, not a big deal. And I had a really nice house, lived with a guy that had a studio in the house, and
wow,
just musical instruments everywhere. So, yeah. I mean, it, great time, but they ended up, you know, saying, hey, you know, our wives, you know, they kind of want to have kids, we kind of want to settle down, and we still want to play music, though, we just can't keep driving to Chattanooga, and, you know, I totally understood that, so I moved back to Chatsworth and said, well, you know, we have these awesome, crazy live shows. People love it, but something struck with me one night whenever I was screaming at the top of my lungs, blowing people's eardrums out how loud our music is. And a guy walked up to me and said, do you even care about your singing? I'm like, what? He's like, do you even care about how you sing? You sing like shit, man. You should take care of your voice. And I'm like, fuck, and I had kind of like an existential crisis about it. I'm like, I took that as so much more, and it was so stupid, and I realize that now, but I'm like, I've never taken care of my voice, how I'm singing things, how I'm playing. It's been about the raw energy. I need to focus on songwriting. I need to make something genuine, and I tried to sit down and do that with Gold-Plated Gold, and we played a few shows with the new material we made. We spent months just working on new stuff, but it had no balls to it. It had no grit, and people didn't really like it, and they stopped coming to shows, and the spark really wasn't there anymore because of how much I think I alienated everyone in trying something different that was totally not what we were, I guess.
And these were with the two guys, because you're back in Chatsworth.
Yeah. Yeah. Same two guys, they just, like I said, it kind of just imploded on itself, and like I said, they started having their kids and getting big boy jobs, and I'm like, yeah, fuck that, I'm just going to double down, I'm going to keep doing it.
Man alone. Okay, I want to play Lost Boys Directory.
Miguel, I was just giving you a call back.
Is Tony there?
Okay, thanks.
Hello?
Yeah.
is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Why for Pedro show? Yeah, you just heard American Man Part 1. You didn't give me Part 2, so I guess it's still in the process. Dixon Blake Callahan. Ahead of that was Not Brave Enough, Parallel Pires. Giovanni Adopio Gene Rosa. In front of that, Chief Fuzzer. I think San Antonio. Bad Sheep Gone Voodoo. A message from Furman Disloge from Churchwood. And ahead of that was Glam Billy. I Must Be the Devil. This is stuff from Sostex. Jeff Smith's band. Fucking label. San Antonio. Great guy. Who's he singing for? The Hickoys. Right. And I think he's got another project too. Gay Sports Cancers or something. And then we start all off with the Lost Boys Directory. Dixon Blake Callahan. So, you go into like, solitary mode and what, like just start recording songs?
Well, I started out with no computer, nothing, had no means to record anything. This is 2015 at this point, and I'm just looping shit on a loop pedal in my bedroom, just kind of feeling sad for myself because everything ended abruptly with Gold Plated Gold, and my best friend, Caleb Dills, singing out with a guy that we knew from Atlanta, lived in Dalton, moved to Atlanta, and he since moved back. They started making music together. But neither of them were really all that musically experienced, and I thought I was going to be like a know-it-all. I'm going to help them. I'm going to be like their mentor or something. But they ended up making some strange ween-ass music, really experimental. And they started a group called Superbody. And I was really inspired by that because they bought laptops. They learned how to use digital audio workstations and took music production classes online for free. And that really inspired me to do that. And I started doing it at about the same time.
Wow, that shows you the power.
Yeah.
Of people just changing your perspective.
Oh, absolutely.
All and that coming from a position of, like, superiority, like, actually more amateur, right?
Yes. Honestly, I don't feel like Caleb specifically had many musical bones in his body at all, but then he started making shit that was blowing my mind over the course of 3 months.
Well, you know, you learn from it, but I think a lot of people should learn from that. It's more of maybe a question of just asserting yourself. Maybe he's not
everybody
born a Mozart, you know, but so what? It's like everybody learns the alphabet and learns how to read and write. Well, why can't it be that way with music?
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of groups that prove that, specifically, who is it that does the My Pal Foot Foot song? The girls.
Oh, the Shags.
Yes.
Yeah.
The love people have for them, for what that is, I think that is a primary.
You know the story of them. It was their pop's idea. He thought they were going to be bigger than the Beatles.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been playing. I just got done. All her songs are gone. But the last few episodes, I've been playing Dot Wiggins, one of the sisters that's still alive. She made a solo.
Wow.
She made a solo record. But yeah, that album was called Philosophy of the World. It was in the 70s, and that was a trip. And to me, that was really important about the movement, you know, because it was just not a haircut or beats per minute. It was a whole thing about, you know, let the freak flag fly.
Absolutely.
Even if your fucking pop comes up with the idea, I mean, so what, you know? And this Caleb guy, he got your fire going.
Absolutely, and I feel like Mr. Greg McCurry, I think Caleb and I had spent times doing drugs, doing bullshit, listening to records, going to the flea markets, buying records and shit for 5 years at this point, and we loved music, but we got really conceptual about things we wanted to do. I think it was Greg McCurry that's like, shut the fuck up and do it.
Yeah,
get
yeah.
off your ass and let's do something. And
much respect to him, because that is important. And that's the trouble sometimes with coffee houses. You just sit around and bullshit and nothing gets done.
Yep.
I'm not pointing any fingers or anything, but that can happen.
No ass kissing with him either. I mean, that's the big thing. I feel like a lot of people just get their asses kissed too much, and I think people should support other people and encourage them, but at the same time, you need constructive criticism, and Greg McCurry's not afraid to give it.
Yeah, if you don't push, where do you know where the wall is?
No, I agree.
If everybody just agrees it's over there, but nobody actually put their hands against it. It might have never really been there.
Nope.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's a great point you make about that. And him, too. What's his first name?
Greg.
Greg. Yeah, Greg Ginn was like that with us, you know? You got to, like, for example, the punk scene in Hollywood, like, nobody had a van. Nobody toured. Like, just be king of Hollywood? I think the Dills had a van, but it was Greg Ginn, you know, he said, no, let's take it to other towns. Interesting about people like this are really important to put the rubber to the road. We're at the end of the second hour, November 19, 2020, Dish of Watt, Peter Show, special guest, Dixon Blake Callahan. Hold tight for hour three. November 19, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
And it was from the good book, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13.
No, Pastor, you mean Ecclesiastes 12 and 14.
Oh, of course, how could I forget?
It was Ecclesiastes 12 and 14 when the Father spoke to me and told me what to tell you all today. He said the sin of all the men will be counted for in them. Saved. It was Corinthians going by when the Lord spoke of a time he would shine a light inside my heart. He would see my word of sin and he would know of the man and the sins I've committed in the dark. And the judgment day is coming, yeah, the judgment day is coming, I swear. Ooh, it could be coming Monday, so I want to lead you all in prayer. Sing along with me now, come on. La 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 la. Glory, blessings, hallelujah, come on. La 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 la. Glory, blessings, hallelujah, come on. La 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 la.
Lord's holy precious name, amen. Now let's go get some lunch.
Oh, Bye.
like it at least. Looks cool as hell. I mean, maybe that's the point.
Mike Jackson's, he almost got killed for that Pepsi commercial, right? But something blew up and cut his head off. People, we started third hour off with GBH, but it's not the England band and it's not the drug. It's praise, an acronym for praise terms. So Dixon Blake Callahan. Waste of Space after that with I Want You. The great late Waste of Space, Charlie and his buddies from the Hill. Grand Designs versus Cops Part 1 from Music with My Insane Friend. So I don't have to describe what that's about. Thomas Scott Quintet out of Liverpool, his new pride. This is a bass man who's, he wants to make a piano record, as he did as a kid. And this record here, he did with strings. See, you learn bass, it's like drums. You can do everything else, people. And then finally, Dream. No. I forgot the title. God Made Me Ugly. Oh, I forget that. And then finally, Dream from Dixon Blake Callahan. Well, what's your process when you write songs? What's first, words or music?
I try to go with music more so than anything.
So title?
I try to come up with a title later on. Usually I'll try to just write my best songs behind my steering wheel. I just start beating on my my drum set, a.k.a. The steering wheel. And I just go from there. I just start singing over that and imagining instrumentation in my head. And I feel like if I fully form the song that way, then start singing over it, over the course of a few days, if I sit down and actually record it, I can finish it all the way through with generally what I want over it. If not, I just dick around forever and get nothing accomplished.
Okay. Can I ask you, Dixon, from that experience inside your coach, how do you remember it when you get to the, I don't know, your pad or where you can record it?
Because I just sing it and play it over and over and over and over again, and I don't stop.
You brand it upon your brain.
Absolutely.
Okay, because that was a problem. Well, yeah. So what I did saw that was a little recorder. So I actually, Tom Herman turned me onto this. Yeah, he says, when I'm out doing my walks, I just, you do it into that. And so I started doing that, and it's kind of helped me. And I built up a little reservoir of these little things, pieces, and because, man, especially Minutemen days, man, that baby was gone.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are a million things I've forgotten because haven't done that.
Okay. So, when you something that's, you know, driver worthy. And you bring it down back to the pad. What's the first thing? What's your composing tool? Is it a piano? Is it a keyboard? Is it a guitar? Is it drum? You know, once you get that initial idea while you're on the road.
It really depends on the song. Like the GBH song you played earlier, it's mostly piano, so I immediately went with piano. But if it's like a super hard rock song, then I will immediately go with guitar first. Just play to a click and then kind of add drums along as I go. And everything else just build up from there.
I'm curious about the piano. How did you learn it? Self-taught again?
Yes, 5 years ago, whenever Superbody started doing their stuff, they played pretty much retrowave 80s synth pop music. And I got really interested in 80s synth pop music for a period of time, and I toured with them and played with them when they formed a live band, and I had to pick up the keyboard because no one else really knew how to play. So I just sat for hours and did my best.
Fuck. Yeah, but, I mean, you did it. Or you're doing it. It's a process, right? Yeah.
As good as I wanted, absolutely.
Yeah. And the whole thing, left hand, right hand, you know, bass, treble, and all that. Wow, much respect. That just shows to go you, you know, because some people think if you don't do this as a kid, you can't ever do it. But no, down the road, right?
Oh, that's bullshit. I think talent is a really big excuse for people to say they can't do something. I feel like it's all the work you put into it.
Yeah, okay. I love that. I want to play Only for the Moment.
tried to put the rolls check in, and once again, he fucking fell. You.
Look, man, I got work at 6 a.m., and you're up all night playing that guitar. It sounds like fucking racket. It sounds like shit. You're not even good. You're such a fucking loser.
I don't mind, I don't care. Listen, I. Running on, running on, running on.
Watch for Pete Rush, your last music for this edition. That chunk started off with Only for the Moment from Dixon Blake Callahan. Then from Danzig, Troopa Troopa with Sacrifice. To AMM All-Stars, Center Chronic. Is this scrumple no taste is fixed? I didn't name it that, people. But I think I am in there, involved there. They use some of my, one of my bass voices or something. And then finally, Mountain Spirits. I love this, man. Dixon Blake Callahan. You know, it's like music for you is kind of a pure thing. It's just a form of expression. You don't care about genre in this shit.
No, I'm trying to be consistent with this new record, but even then, I've already started planning to make a funk record next. I mean, I go all over the place. No consistency. I just love music.
Do you do bass?
I do. Yeah, I do bass and all of this. I've had to also teach myself over the past 5 years to play bass and Superbody, and I'm like, oh, shit, I guess I need to learn how to do this well.
But tell me about that experience. What was it like? You know, because it looks like a guitar. So was that the first thing you were thinking?
Yeah, I tried to play it like a guitar. Just do like basic like tonics and root notes to begin with. But eventually I started paying more attention to like Paul McCartney or the various bass players like the Mars Volta has had. Or just started paying attention to more rhythmic bass playing and tried to do finger walks more so than use a pick. And my problem is every bass guitar I've had my hands on, I don't want to change the strings. I'm like, that looks really hard. And all the guitars I've had are like P basses and they're all like very, very thick strings. So I would just play until my fingers bled to the point where now they're just calluses where I can't feel my fingers anymore.
You know the difference between flats and rounds, right? Round wounds, right?
Barely.
Okay. Flats were like the older school. Like the big P bass player from the old days on all the Motown records is James Jamerson. And he never changed. He broke a G string. That's the only string that got changed. A guy like Joe Osborne, right? He's on stuff like Secret Agent Man and, you know, I don't know, Hair, the musical.
Yeah.
He played with a pick, but he played with flat wounds. He never changed his strings. He tried to. And he thought he sounded terrible. So don't worry about that string thing. Actually, it was like that with guitar, with jazz guys, too. Don't change the string. They thought the overtones from having two new strings and shit, it kind of robbed the punch.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, I just found it strange. I thought I would have to change the strings at this point, or that something would break, because, like, gold-plated gold, I would play a show, and I would break two or three strings every show, and people thought that was fucking crazy, and I agree. I was hitting that thing way too hard. It's just, I figured I would have changed it by now, and it's like, it still sounds fine. Why ruin a bad thing?
I used to break strings on the bass a lot. I'd have to keep strings in my back waistband, you know, and I got to learn how to change them. I'd sometimes three or four, yeah, a gig. But then as I got less younger, and I think the hands got less stronger, because I was breaking them as
much anymore. So yeah, I couldn't imagine myself doing shit I did 3 years ago now. God.
Dixon, where can people find you on the internet?
At the moment, everything's on SoundCloud. Dixon Blake Callahan. I'm between Superbody and this, completely...
Okay, people,
not sticking to one thing, just throwing it all out there.
Sure, sure.
That's what it is.
So I want to tell the listeners, you go to SoundCloud.com and you go to the little search window there and put in Dixon Blake Callahan, that's three words, and you'll find his music and with different projects, like he says. He's putting it all up there. And so the next focus right now is to get this record done, right?
Absolutely. I've spent a lot of time on it just trying to get 32 songs, of which I've got 20 now.
Wow!
Trying to get 32 good songs, pick the 24 best.
Where'd you get this number 32?
32 comes from the fact that, and this entire record, it's a concept record, right? I had an experience listening to a newer artist that played what's called queer country music. And I listened to it, and I'm like, it doesn't really sound all that weird or queer or country, right? So I was like, I don't think anyone who says they write country music in Hollywood or any big place really understands what it's like to be in the country, and I've never played country music a day in my life. So I'm going to try to pick four perspectives, four of the most common type of people I meet in this area, and have eight songs from each one of those perspectives, and then I'm going to pick the six best from all of them. I don't know what I'll do with the leftover tracks, the eight tracks, but
send them to Watt to play on the Watt from Pedro show. Okay? If you don't know what to do with them, Dixon, send them my way. Let me play them, because I would love to.
Absolutely.
Okay. And when you get this album done, will you come back on the show and we can talk about it? Because I love this concept.
Yeah, absolutely. Should okay. be finished by next summer.
Okay, brother. Please come back on, man. And I wish you all the luck, and I'm glad you're out there doing what you do. Let the freak flag fucking fly.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. People, it's been the November 19, 2020 edition of Pedro, so keep your powder dry.